This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Line out. GIDP. GIDP.
Yeah.
Strikeout.
Not the best night at the dish.
No, not at all. In fact, you can already hear the fans grumbling. But to me, one of the stars of the game and the reasons the Padres won last night was Xander Bogaerts. It's not that hot of a take. It's not that hot of a take.
It is.
Because
it's Stephen A. Smith-esque.
By moving over to shortstop, he got Donovan Solano's bat into the lineup. And Solano is the one who started the rally that gave them the lead with the three-run home run by Fernando Tatis Jr.
So then why wouldn't you just say Solano had the night because he had a couple hits? He had a couple really nice picks over at first.
He did.
You want it to be... You want it to be saucy.
I'm going next level. Because had
4K.
Had Xander not been at shortstop, then Mason McCoy is probably at shortstop, struggling bat, and Solano is on the bench.
McCoy could have done that at the plate, though, and most likely would have.
Would have. Xander did.
Yes.
But Solano then would not have been in the lineup,
correct,
which means he would not have been there to start that rally, get the second hit, and play a really solid game yesterday for the San Diego Padres.
Made the plays he needed to make, turned a couple double plays. I think when we kicked around the idea when Kim first went down, it did make more sense to me that if we thought it was going to be 10 days, doesn't make a lot of sense to flip-flop. But now that it looks like Kim may not be coming back at all, yes, this should be the permanent move. You know, and Donovan Solano, again, played a great game. That pick he made on Manny's throw, it is not an easy pick by any stretch, especially for a guy that doesn't play a lot of first
base. And
if
he doesn't make it, the Mariners tie the game.
Yes.
And, you know, the momentum that you had just grabbed kind of dissipates a little bit. It was an important moment in that game and a great pick.
Yeah. Good, really, really solid-looking lineup. And, you know, somebody made the point last night. They said, how annoying is it if you're a pitcher and you're getting through that lineup and you're like, good God, man, Donovan Solano's in the eight hole or whatever. Like, I got Jackson Merrill, Donovan Solano now. Like, Donovan Solano's pesky as hell. Two strike hits, great AB, fouls pitches off at an incredible rate, you know, and then just pokes one out there. You're like, God dang, dude, the eight hole, I should be able to let up a little bit.
I mean, it was not that long ago. 7-8-9 were
dead.
Like, go grab a beer.
Dead.
It is the automatic, just three outs.
You know how many times, Paulie, I've rushed my kids to bed when the 7-8-9, all right, let's go, let's hit it. We're going to read a book
not
real quick,
brush
our teeth, not miss a damn thing.
Now you have Merrill, Solano, and Higgy.
It's dirty.
7-8-9.
Yeah, it's absolutely, or Merrill, Solano, Diaz, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. Like you feel it just makes the lineup just so.
I mean, the rookie of the year, the seven hole, is just insane.
So much peskier.
And I, you know, for Xander, I don't want to discount the fact that there may be a mental aspect, a difficulty, in once again switching positions in the middle of the season that may negatively, for whatever reason, negatively impact him a bit at the plate.
Did not affect his defense.
But he played good defense. Yep. And do it now, because there's a chance, you talked about it yesterday, that we won't see Ha-Sung Kim again. And if the Padres go on a playoff run, it likely could be with Xander Bogaerts as your shortstop. And if they want to go deep, Xander is going to have to step up at some point and be part of that. And he's done it before. He's won World Series titles before. I'm glad they're not waiting until like the last week of the season to make this switch. Do it now, you know, and by the time you do get to the October games, hopefully Xander will be like feeling pretty comfortable again in, you know, his entire game after moving back to shortstop.
So. Yeah, and look, I understand, man, you know, fans, I've seen a lot of it. Nobody wants to hear about feelings or anything like that. So I understand your perspective on that. They are human beings. You have to remember that at the end of the day. And, you know, making the switch earlier in the season was not a comfortable scene for him. I'm glad that he's back there. I don't really want to talk about it anymore. I think that should be the lineup, you know, going forward, certainly. David Peralta is still going to get some swings here and there. But, yeah, I loved this last night, and it was such a grindy lineup, and they performed. And, Xander didn't do much at the plate, killed a couple rallies, but played good defense, got the win. It's all that matters. That should be what it looks like going forward.
All right, is the NL West maybe creeping back into play. Want to talk about that. First, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. Phone lines are open if you want to join us and see if you can match what I think three people have already done this month and get their name into the hopper for the getaway to Las Vegas in our musical trivia challenge. Call right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll get to our game in just a couple of minutes. Padres now just 4.5 games behind the Dodgers in the NL West after the Cubs got a 6-3 win last night at Dodger Stadium. Yoshinobu Yamamoto returned. If you're a Dodgers fan, you're probably feeling at least decent about what he did. Four innings, four hits, one run, eight strikeouts.
Looked pretty nasty.
You know, pitch count, they were careful with him. They took him out, and the Cubs rallied against an ever shakier Dodgers bullpen that has got to be a legitimate concern.
It's a bad,
in LA.
Bad defense too that let the Cubs right back in the game. So yeah, not a great night at Chavez Latrine last night for sure.
So Cubs get the 6-3 win in the All Japan start with Shota Imanaga going six and Yamamoto looking good in his return, but that does give the Padres at least that glimmer. They'd gone down to like 1.something% in Fangraphs a couple of days ago with their chances to win the NL West, picking up a game and a half in the last 2 days when you're off and just one win gives you that hope, knowing you got three against the Dodgers. I mean, if you're within three or four games, you at least have a shot going into the last week of the season. So they've kind of put themselves at least back into a point where you can consider it.
Well, they got Bobby Miller going today, who
has
not been good. So, I mean, the Cubs have a chance to sweep the Dodgers at home. That's a pretty big deal.
The Diamondbacks took care of business, got some power. Two home runs from Christian Walker. They've got Jock Peterson went deep, and Zach Gallen pitched five shutout innings as they beat the Rangers 6-0 last night. So they remain a half game behind the Padres. Thank you to the Blue Jays, who handed David Peterson just his second loss of the season as they beat the New York Mets 6-2, just the second loss for the Mets in their last 12 games, I think, but cost them a game in the wild card standings, and they drop into a tie with the Braves. No thanks to Mackenzie Gore, who gave up.
God.
He also had some defensive troubles behind him. He gave up seven runs, but just two of them were earned, and the Braves just annihilated the Nats 12-0. Now, that could have been a costly win, though, for Atlanta. Did you see this? Ronaldo Lopez had to leave the game after just one inning.
Oh, no, I did not see
that. With shoulder tightness. He threw a pitch, and then all of a sudden his velocity went from like 97 to 90. And that's extremely concerning because he's been
awesome.
One of the most effective starters for the Braves,
and he's
picking up the slack with all the injuries.
When he was a converted reliever as well, so you wonder, you know, has he hit the wall after throwing so many pitches, you know, this season? That really is the first time he's done that before. So interesting stuff moving forward. I every night I think I have an idea of who's going to be the team that doesn't make it out of those four, and then every night it changes. So it's just kind of confounding every night to watch.
So the Padres with the win, their magic number over the Braves to clinch a playoff spot is down to 14 now, with 16 games remaining in the season, including one more tonight against the Seattle Mariners. Michael King taking the mound again against Brian Wu, and it's again a 6:40 start. 5:40 EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt as the Padres try to return the favor and sweep Seattle. And then another day off tomorrow, so plenty of chance. I mean, I wasn't surprised that Mike Schilt went with the aggressive bullpen, knowing day off on Monday, day off on Thursday. You can go for it. And well, Robert Suarez, we didn't bring him up. He gave up that line drive in the eighth with the runners on that was a little nervous. Looked pretty good in the ninth.
He did.
And got his 32nd save of the season, a four-out one. Hasn't been a four-out save for Robert Suarez in a while. But aggressive bullpen management by Mike Schilt once again.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't be surprised at this point.
No.
This is what they're going to do with the off days built in.
That's
all you're going to get.
I know.
You're going to get a lot of ass.
I know
you
worry about overuse and what are the consequences of keeping going to your highest leverage guys, but so far the consequences have mostly been wins, and I like those consequences.
Yeah, those are good
of
consequences.
Using your highest leverage relievers.
Yep.
So that's the day in the wild card race. We can talk about some of the other stuff in baseball a little bit later. Right now, though, let's get to it. It is time to Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods.
Take on me.
Woods.
Paulie's giving me some puns because our contestant is Izzy. Is he going to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas? Wasn't that funny, Izzy? I like the laugh, though. Thank you very much. Good morning to you.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
I like Izzy.
Yeah, I do, too.
For you, Izzy.
I do, too. All right, Izzy, you're our contestant. Woods has left the studio. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. And what you're playing for is a chance to qualify for our grand prize, two-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas, and two tickets to see Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at the Wynn. It is an epic battle with acrobats, choreography, and comedy as well. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. All right, we'll give you a little advantage here. Keep Woodsy in the dark, give you the category choices. For Izzy, we have an iffy category. Those are song titles that begin with the word if. You can choose below the waist, songs that include a lower half body part in the title. And we've got another little category. After yesterday's little category, we've got five more song titles that include the word little. So an iffy category, below the waist, or another little category. Izzy?
Let's go another little category.
Another little category. All right. Second straight day. Five more song titles. Each of them include the word little. I think this one's a little tougher than yesterday's. We'll see. 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. We'll compare your score to Woods. If you beat or tie him, we'll put you into the drawing for Las Vegas. First questions are 2 second song. You need to give me that title that includes the word little and the artist to score the point. Izzy? Ready to play? You tell me, Izzy.
Ready.
He is ready.
Ready.
Paul, you ready?
I is.
You is. All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. The category, another little category. Good luck, Izzy. Let's take on Woods.
Give a little bit.
Bye.
Pass.
Bob Marley sings Every Little Thing Is Gonna Be All Right in which signature 1980 hit?
Three Little Birds.
Correct. Singer Chris Barron says which 1992 debut hit for the Spin Doctors is about a malignant narcissist?
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Correct. Sting sings EO more than a dozen times in which 1981 hit for the Police?
Pass.
British pop duo...
Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic.
Correct. British pop duo Erasure repeats the phrase... That you gimme no, that you gimme no, in which signature 1988 hit?
Pass.
Go back to our 2 second song. You got the title. Who's the artist?
Damn it. I don't know.
Ah, British pop duo Erasure repeats the phrase, that you gimme no, that you gimme no, in which signature 3.5. You were playing. I thought it was a good game by Izzy, though. That's Supertramp, is Give a Little Bit. You got Three Little Birds, Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. Eraser's song is A Little Respect.
I think
I
think that 2 second song
could
might be
4-3. I could be. We'll see. All right, we got a fun contestant today. Izzy.
Okay.
Is Izzy going to win or not?
Just going to wait for you to get it in. I'm a fun guy, too. Let's go.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. No category for Woods. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Izzy.
Give a Little Bit by REO Speedwagon.
Incorrect. Bob Marley sings Every Little Thing Is Gonna Be All Right, in which signature...
Three Little Birds.
Correct. Singer Chris Barron says which 1992 debut hit for the Spin Doctors is about a malignant narcissist.
Two Princes?
Incorrect. Sting sings EO more than a dozen times in which 1981 hit for the Police.
I just listened to it the other day. EO. Spirits in the Material World.
Oh, incorrect.
Son of a
British
bitch!
Pop duo Erasure repeats the phrase, that you gimme no, that you gimme no, in which signature 1988 hit.
Kick my taint.
You have lost big time to Izzy. Congratulations. The answer is
yes. What's the category?
So it's like yesterday. It's another little category. So you got
Super Tramp.
It's Super Tramp. You got Three Little Birds. Spin Doctors is Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. Every little thing she does is magic.
Hannah.
And A Little Respect by Erasure.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one. Izzy, congratulations. Let's congratulate you on the air. Nice job, Izzy.
Izzy, appreciate it. Well done.
Thank you. Thanks, Woods.
You bet, buddy.
All right, hang on the line. Paulie will get your information during the break.
Good night's sleep and get just bodied.
Didn't help him today.
Rough month.
This has been, yeah.
Why don't you both shut your mouth?
The pennant race is here, and Woods is just bleeding games in the standings. Your huge lead that you built all summer is evaporating.
Damn it!
It's going to come down to that last week in September.
Your magic number remains like unchanged every single day.
Stays here. Just one and one. Hey, don't call it a roller coaster, okay? Don't call it a roller coaster.
I'm not going to alibi.
Are you alibi
gonna
alibi right
anything
I,
here?
I can't alibi. I'm getting my ass kicked here. All right? Jeez.
All right.
That's correct.
I'll be gone the next 2 days. Paulie has something fun set up for our games the next couple of days.
Oh, I did not know this.
Yes, okay. I know.
You, I don't think Woods is gonna
you
like
have
it.
Legitimately oh, been left great. In the dark on this one.
God!
But it was a great idea, and you'll just have to tune in tomorrow and Friday
all right.
to find out how to qualify for Las Vegas when I'm not here.
You think you'd want to tell the host so nope. that I could be prepared.
Yeah, you know, you think you'd want to tell the host about things.
I don't know.
Welcome
how
to my world.
On the show? I don't...
Welcome to my world.
Huh. All right. I'll just roll with the punches then.
All right. We were just talking about the Dodgers bullpen. They're going to make an appearance in Don't Do This, correct?
Yeah. Every when you fight a wall, the wall's always going to win, just so you know. It happened to one of the Dodgers pitchers.
The law and the wall.
Yeah, I fought the wall, and the wall won.
Coming
it
up.
It always does.
Next, after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
I fought the wall, and the wall won!
Well, more like solid object.
Okay.
Is what I heard. You want me to get us started?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Los Angeles Dodgers reliever Anthony Banda was placed on the IL on Thursday, the result of a hairline fracture in his left hand, sustained when he hit, quote, a solid object. So he did not have a good outing. On Monday night, gave up 2 runs, 3 hits.
So it could be a refrigerator.
Yeah, solid object.
Could be a locker door.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe a cooler.
A cooler, yeah.
Pretty solid.
They usually kick a cooler.
They usually
you
kick
don't punch
the cooler.
Unless it's one of those on a table that maybe you punch it like.
Also, don't if you're gonna do it, don't. I mean, don't, right? In a pennant race.
But you're non-pitching hand.
You're non-pitching hand. Crash Davis taught you that. Do you hit me with your right hand? Do you hit me with your left?
Get in a fight with a drunk at a bar. You don't hit him with your pitching hand.
Yeah, idiot. I can't keep giving you this advice. So Dave Roberts says, I know it's something he regrets. We all regret it. Giving no estimate on when he could return. Had pitched pretty well. Pitched in 46 games with a 3.23 ERA, 50 strikeouts, left-handed option out of the bullpen. But, yeah, man, it's the thing is you probably, a lot of these guys probably get away with it 3 or 4 times of doing it, and nothing happens. But it's that one time when it sneaks up to get you. You know, you kick a cooler, whatever, and it's over, man. Hassan Kim did it. I mean, it happens all the time. Just got to find a better way to release your frustration.
Really bad timing should this time of year, though.
They should put a punching bag in locker rooms. Just
I bet someone
kind of
thought of that.
Kind of
yeah.
Not one of the real heavy bags.
How about that video game where the bag just drops in, you can see your point total.
I feel like I'd break my wrist doing that.
I would hit the hard plastic part, guaranteed.
Guaranteed, yeah.
These guys, they reach so far back, maybe even get a running start. I'm like, how do you not hit?
Put a punching bag or a rage room type scene down there and let them go ham.
Padres fans remember well Kevin Brown, even in his one season, which was a phenomenally good season. He had a couple of bad starts, though, and he would be incredibly destructive when that would happen.
Yeah, he'd take bathrooms and
yeah, to you know, like urinals and light fixtures,
yep.
And he just and they'd bill him for it later, but he didn't mind. But he usually did with a bat. He'd grab a bat and just start wrecking things in the clubhouse if things did not go well in his start. Which kind of brings us here to our second story. Maybe that's a better way to react when you struggle than what Edwin Uceta did of the Tampa Bay Rays. Faced him not that long ago. A really nasty reliever, if I remember correctly. He had an ERA of 0.79 entering last night's game against the Philadelphia Phillies. But as generally happens at least once a year, he struggled badly against the Phillies. Gave up a tie-breaking two-run double to Cal Stevenson, then gave up a Buddy Kennedy RBI single, two-run Trey Turner home run, and then a Bryce Harper double. And if you were watching, you could just see, he's agitated point.
Yep.
He is agitated as Nick Castellanos stepped to the plate. No, it wasn't a deep drive to left field this time. He drilled Castellanos.
In the back.
And the bench is cleared rather quickly, bullpens as well. And Castellanos had some thoughts about Uceta and his pitch after the game.
Yeah, I got into the box. I wasn't even swinging because I thought there was a chance that that could happen, and it happened. I think that he was just pissed off that his numbers got messed up.
You don't have any beef with him, right?
No, yeah. Just other than like having a overwhelming sense that I was about to get drilled.
You thought it might happen just based on the way the inning went against him to that point? Or?
I can't explain it, I know that he had relatively pretty good numbers going into that, and just watching him, I could see him getting frustrated, and I was digging in. I'm like, I'm going to take this pitch right here to see if he's around the plate, and it wasn't anywhere near the plate.
So what was that like when you see your teammates put on Bryce, like, come right?
No doubt, because I think that we all kind of got a sense of what it was, that he was just pissed off that, he got hit around and his ERA shot through the roof.
Is it frustrating because A, was on purpose, but also B, maybe he could have gotten hurt there, I guess, in that situation?
Well, I mean, it was below. It was, like, right at my waistline. So, like, for that, I think I probably would have been a little bit more emotionally triggered if it was up, by my head. But I think Bryce kind of felt the same thing that I did, that wasn't even close.
There's not really a written rule about how guys are going to react or how you react back to them in that kind of situation, right? I mean, you obviously were a little pissed off, too, once what you thought was going to happen did.
Yeah, I just told him I was
That kind of summed it up.
You're throwing a baseball over 90 miles an hour and you're frustrated and you're gonna throw at somebody, that's like my 2-year-old throwing a fit because I take away his dessert before he's finished.
Really good, man. And I think, he knew exactly what was coming. He's like, man, this sucks, dude. I'm about to wear 96 to the back. For no reason other than this guy sucking tonight.
Uceta tried to claim, it was a changeup. 96. Didn't register as a changeup.
I love that. I love Castellanos.
You overthrew the changeup a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. That was great.
So the Phillies get the win, and they kind of need it. They're trying to hold off the Dodgers for the... I think that gives them a one-game lead over the Dodgers in the race for the number one seed in the National League playoffs.
Bryce Harper has not hit a home run in a month.
He is a very streaky player.
He hit one last night. And it got called back for fan interference.
Oh, was that the double that they had? Oh, it was a different one.
So the night before, Harper hits one that he in the ninth that he thinks is a homer. It's a line drive. And he Cadillacs it down to first base. I was told he never does that. That only Manny does that. But happened to Bryce Harper. He ended up with a long, long single. Had to go apologize to Rob Thompson after the game. Because you could see the manager was visibly pissed off. Like, you saw him like put his head down, like, are you kidding me? It's the ninth inning. We need runs here, and you're pimping line drives. And went straight up to Rob Thompson, was like, hey, bro, that's my bad. Then the next night, it's one, thinks it's gone. Kid reaches over. He's over the line, pulls it back. No home run, fan interference. He's like, oh my God.
All right, for doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
Let's revisit Manny. We heard Jesse's call of his franchise record-setting home run, but let's give it for everyone who was listening on radio and didn't see it on television. Here's how Don Orsillo called it last night on Padres.tv.
Machado hits one to right center field. Back goes Rodriguez looking up. Manny Machado stands alone as the Padres' all-time home run leader. Man, oh man, oh Manny, you are number one in Padres history. Two-run shot.
Amazing.
Question for you.
Yes.
Who will finish with more home runs as a San Diego Padre? Manny Machado or Fernando Tatis Jr.?
Who? What's the total right
so,
now?
So Tatis is right now. Let me check.
I think he's at 120. Is that right?
Let's see. Career stats for Fernando. I think he is at... Stats, come on. He is at 121 after last night.
Oh, yeah, 121 after last night.
So he's 43 behind Manny. So one really good season.
Yeah.
Younger, obviously.
He's younger. I think Fernando.
You think Fernando will stick around long enough?
Safe bet.
Stay healthy enough?
Yeah.
Because Manny's going to keep adding to the 164 for quite some time.
He's going to get between 25 and 30 every year. So,
at least the next few years, you'd think. That requires a lot of consistency from Fernando as well.
That's true. That's been the knock against Fernando. But, I mean, all things being equal, but they're not. I mean, he's much younger. So I'd say it's pretty safe to put it on Fernando.
Yeah. Fernando's on pace, if he had played the whole season, would be right around a 30 home run season, I believe, this year as well.
How about Jackson Merrill?
Ooh.
Down the road.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Merrill doesn't have a long-term contract the way Tatis does.
It's true.
I don't know that any of us are expecting Jackson Merrill to be leaving anytime soon.
Yeah, Nando, they said Nando, you know, he could have done it by now had he been healthy. So, and obviously without the ringworm. So,
but that's a factor. The fact that Fernando has, one essentially full season in his career in 2023. I mean, that's a lot of years that he's missed a lot of games.
Yep.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that'll continue in the future, but there are players who just play, you know, don't play as many full seasons as other guys, and it impacts their career numbers.
Yeah, so I'm very happy for Manny today.
Right.
Earned it.
All right, we got Adam Jones coming up on a Big League Wednesday. Get his thoughts on his good friend Manny Machado's record. Do that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, it's already been a pretty remarkable career for Manny Machado, the Padres' new all-time home run leader as of last night. And there was someone who got to see the very beginning of it with the Baltimore Orioles. He is standing by on a Big League Wednesday. We'll talk to Adam Jones right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We got Adam back on? Yes, we do. Joining us, the five-time All-Star center fielder, Adam Jones, on a Big League Wednesday. Good morning, AJ.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing? Hey, what's most important is my guy broke the record.
Let's sure did.
I think that's the topic of discussion, and that's the big news of the Padres. Obviously, getting a win is huge in Seattle and keep doing what they're doing. But my guy, Manuel, has set the record, and he's got what, 8 more years left, so I'm pretty sure he's going to put it in some secure hands.
Did you text him last night?
I haven't. I mean, the time difference and stuff like that, I'm sure he's been reached out by 100 people. I generally don't hit people up when something happens, and because look, they're going to receive a lot of messages. I wait about a week later when they're free and they're normal and they get back to the body.
Smart.
You hit somebody up right away, you're not going to get responded to. Mm-hmm.
That's true. And you get special attention a week later. Like, oh, man, thank you.
That happens to me. Woods is like, hey, there's major news about this person. Text them, see if we can get them on the show tomorrow. I'm like, you can realize they got 1,000 text messages right now.
That's
Let's get them next week.
You got to wait.
AJ, I know we've talked about it in the past, but I want to go back to the early years of Manny Machado when you saw him coming up as, I mean, they brought him up really young. I mean,
he was 19 or something?
Yeah, wasn't he? When he first started.
He was 20.
20 when he first started in Major League Baseball. You get a lot to learn when you're 20. What did you see, though, in the raw Manny Machado when he first joined the Baltimore Orioles and was coming up through the system and seeing him at spring training? What kind of player you thought he was going to be?
What he is right now. I mean, like you guys, the sky's the limit on his back. I mean, when I first seen him, obviously you're like the first rounder, like everybody else. You size up the first rounder. You know what I mean? Who is this kid? Let's see what he is. He's coming in at 6'2", just a monster. And we're like, okay, cool. And that's why I said, certain times, certain people can speak up in certain times in meetings and stuff like that. And it's not always a superstar who gets to speak up. But sometimes it's It's either the veteran or it's the guy who has the knack. It's just certain things about a clubhouse. He was able to come into the room the first week. I mean, we've seen what he was able to do. His mental capacity and understanding of situation was unbelievable. I mean, there's some plays that he made that are unbelievable in the time that he was there, just awareness. And these are just baseball plays, not like, oh, tell me what to do. These are plays that he did because he understood the situation and what's going on. He's always thought ahead, and that's why he's had success. I mean, his defense is his pride, his offense, and his joy. So, you know, he's a hell of a player.
I talked to my kid, Bo, who's six. I talked to him about baseball IQ all the time, Adam, and that's something that, you know, I talk to my little leaguers that I coach about thinking every single minute while you're out there and knowing, what do I do if it's hit to my left? What do I do if it's hit to my right? It's so rare that he makes the wrong decision. And I mean, like once a year. I mean, honestly, like one time, right, you'd be like, you probably shouldn't have barehanded that one. But literally, like one time a year, I go, but that's it. I mean, the IQ is off the charts. He knows when to run, knows when to steal, knows when not to steal, knows when to take the extra bag. Is that innate in someone? Is that just something that you just have to work at and constantly think about?
No, I mean, it's when he first came up, you got to understand, he came up in a winning culture. So it's like he came up in 2012, we were grinding for every W. And, you know, we won the wild card. You know what that means. That means every night we needed to do something to win this game. And we did the dirty work. So when he came up, he was taught to play dirty baseball. Not dirty baseball, but get himself dirty.
Yeah.
And on the field and get the job done. No matter if it's pretty, no matter what it is. Obviously, he's a superstar. But if a man's on second base with nobody out, you got to understand what he's going to do every time is try to hit the ball to the big part of the field.
Yep.
He can pull the ball with the best of them, but he plays baseball. And the thing is, it's when you got a guy who's a superstar and plays baseball, that's the sexiest thing you can see. I mean, it's because it's like, damn, you can do everything on this field and you can slow the game down. And right now he's healthy, so you're seeing him slow the game down. I was seeing him face Webb. Webb is one of the nastiest sinkers, if not the best sinker in the game, him and Stroman, and getting ground balls. And he stays through these balls because he's feeling good and he's hot. And he understands the situation. So his baseball IQ, again, he was taught by Bobby Dickerson, myself, Buck Showalter, J.J. Harden, who was his comrade at shortstop, who was, you know, at the time, of, you know, he got a 10-year difference of age, who giving him game on how to do it at this level. And look, we need to win tonight. So his first 5 years in Baltimore was all about winning. So when he came over to the Padres, he was the franchise guy, and he's like, hey, I want to win. That's why he's so passionate about winning. He gets frustrated when they don't, because his first taste of the big leagues was winning. My first taste to the big leagues was getting my ass handed to me. So it was okay to get my ass handed to me when I got in Baltimore. But once I started to learn how to win, it was over.
Talking to Adam Jones about Manny Machado, the Padres' new all-time home run leader with 164. But I might argue, Adam, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, that Manny Machado isn't really a home run hitter. He hits a lot of home runs, but he's a line drive hitter, and he just hits them so hard, even the one yesterday, just hits them so hard they go over the fence occasionally. But he doesn't have a home run swing, really. I mean, people say that right-handed swing, one of the best in balance.
It's beautiful, man.
No, he reminds me of a right-handed Manny Ramirez, but Manny was not a home run hitter. He hit line drive. Look at Manny's swing. He hits down through, not up and out. He hits down and through the ball. So he hits basically two irons all the time. His home runs, I mean, he doesn't hit those balls that hook, I should say. He hits balls that keep going. Like, you know, the golf ball you wish you could have?
Yes.
He hits those when he hits these bombs. And he doesn't hook. I mean, he's one of the guys who stays inside the ball. He's on top of the ball. He's not underneath or doing all this crazy old stuff. He's old school. Work on top of the ball. Hit line drives, because line drives turn into home runs. Fly balls and BP turn into outs in the game when you add true velocity. That's simple physics, baby.
I want to talk about another hitter on the San Diego Padres. Talking to Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods this morning, and Luis Arraez, who has been such a delight to watch. And you know, the advanced metrics don't like him. They don't like him. He's been on three teams in 3 years. I look at him, Adam, and I say, how does he do what he does against the most elite pitching mm-hmm. on the planet? And I kind of boil it down. Yep. No, he's not a good defender. He's not a fast runner. He doesn't hit doubles and home runs. So it makes him less quote unquote valuable in today's game. But when you're getting three knocks a night, it's kind of hard to argue with those results, man.
I mean, the name of the game is to get on base and to get hits. That's the name of the game. I mean, Tony Gwynn had 3,200 of them. Carew in that category. I don't care what you say. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting for a computer to hit a baseball. I know they got that robot thing that can hit a golf ball.
Oh,
I know
they have that. That thing's nasty.
The golf ball sitting there. It's money. It's great. Yeah, but I'm still waiting for a computer to hit a damn baseball. It won't happen, okay? I get it. You want the three outcomes. You want the home run, the extra base hit, strikeout, or walk. You want those. I'm sorry, Arise struck out three times in the last month and a half or something like that.
No, longer than that.
That means he's giving it. That means he's he gives you a chance every single at bat. I know a lot of guys that don't. And you know one thing that frustrates me is when somebody's hitting 195 and they hit a home run, they act like they're hitting 295. Right. Hey, run around the bases like Adam Rosales.
Fast.
That's what you need to do. You're hitting 195, run around in bases like Adam Rosales, okay? Put your head down and go. Stop pimping the ball because, this is the first good ball you hit in the last 2 months. You're hitting 205. Like, let's stop pimping the ball as Major League Baseball. Let's stop pimping the ball when you're hitting 205. That's not sexy to me.
I saw a post yesterday that since the All-Star break, there have been 472 Major League Baseball players who have had a two-strikeout game. That's essentially almost every position player in baseball.
Yeah.
Have had at least one game in which they've struck out twice. And Arise has struck out twice mm-hmm. total since the All-Star break. Twice.
Bananas, man. Bananas.
Yep. There you go.
Unbelievable.
It's the three major outcomes. No one cares about... You know, if you strike out 150 times and 350 at bat, there's. I told Ellie De La Cruz at the All-Star break, I said, bro, you need Major League Baseball right now in strikeouts. You're aggressive here, I get all that. But if you just cut down your strikeouts like 25-30%, that means you're on base. If
fast
you get
as
on
hell.
Base, you already got 55 at the damn break. You can, you know what I mean? It's like the little things when you strip your ego from whatever these numbers and all this stuff, it means just behind-the-scenes numbers, when you strip your ego and just play the game to win, it opens up the door for everything else. I get it. Yeah, everybody, the objective is to get paid. And, you know, I know now with the analytics, agents are telling players, to, you know, these are certain ways you should play because the analytics say do this, and, you know, move this and do this. Because, look, man, at the end of the day, they're going to remember your ass for winning. They're not going to remember you because you shaded over three steps and you had a good you had a good BABIP. No one's going to remember that. They're going to remember you as a winner. They're going to remember you because you did the dirty work. They don't care about all those little intricacies. Now, in the off season, it's time to get paid, yes. But between the lines, when it's time to play, man, throw that jet at the window, man. And you know, like I said, like with Arise, who do you want in the Padres lineup besides Manny in the bottom of the ninth?
I want to rise. I want to rise.
Exactly, because you know he's going to make contact.
Yep.
He's going to put you in a situation to probably get a hit. So,
every time.
I mean, but again, analytics will say, put this guy in here because, you know, he might hit a home run. Well, might ain't going to help me right now. I need a contact guy.
Yeah, man, I want to ask you about another player. And I know, you know, honestly, you were a player. You're going to be pro player all the time. Anthony Rendon yesterday went on the IL again.
Yeah.
He's played barely at all and got this massive contract. I don't know Anthony at all. Are there guys, you know, Manny was ripped a little bit by fans early in the season for playing through injury. And then you have the other extreme in Anthony Rendon who doesn't seem to play ever. I mean, what's your kind of, where does that fall? I mean, if you're a teammate of a guy like that, it just is never on the field. How tough is that?
Yeah. I mean, one thing you can never—I never question a man's heart. And like you said, if he can't play, he can't play. I'm never going to be like, "Hey, push through it." That's not my decision. That's never been my decision. My decision is, if I can play, I'm going to give myself the best opportunity to play. If he can't play, then I guess he deems himself he can't play. Obviously, as a baseball fan, I'm speaking as a baseball fan first. it's frustrating because, again, you're talking about one of the top 10 baseball players over a 4 or 5 year stretch.
Yeah, he was really good.
And you know what I mean? Like, you talk about unbelievable. Like, Rendon's, I mean, unbelievable. And I got to see him, the Battle of the Beltway, so I got to see a lot of his career because we were so close to each other. So it's just that he was spectacular. The last few years, obviously, in some comments he's made, have not been as as kosher, I should say. I don't want to... Yeah, I'm not what I say, shit. but I'm just saying,
You're good.
Frustrating. I just say
it's frustrating.
It's frustrating as a fan, as a teammate. I'm sure for the Angels. I'm sure you can't trade them. I mean, the only thing you can do is, you know, within their power is to release them, which obviously you're not going to release somebody making that much money. I just hope that again he either figures it out with his body physically and gives it all he has, or, you know, sometimes, you know, like Chris Davis had to do, sometimes the physical toll takes its toll. He's made enough money.
He's made enough.
Sometimes, you know, like a Strasburg situation, sometimes the injuries just mess with you too much to where, you know what, he might not want to work his tail off to get back. You know what I mean? This game is mental, man. It beats you up. It looks great on TV, but behind the scenes, man, this game beats you up, especially now. Everything you say is decoded and encrypted with social media. Somebody,
I believe
it's funny out here where it's raining where I'm at, and you know what I mean? So it's a lot of it takes its toll on guys, and, you know, like with some guys, you're not surprised when they're just like, you know what, hey, I've had enough. I got money on the table, but, hey, I've made enough, and you ain't going to see me no more. And he might be one of those guys.
He could be.
I'm not saying he is, but... He has the personality to just disappear and
never be heard from again. Never again. Yeah.
AJ, we're out of time. Great stuff today, especially on Manny. Always appreciate your perspective.
We got a minute to ask him another question.
We don't have a minute. We have like 37 seconds left.
I thought you liked to live dangerously.
Adam, have a great week.
See you, buddy.
You guys too.
Thanks, man.
Good stuff. You know, Balsamic Vinny in the chat says, Rendon should be serving chicken at medieval times due to Jester.
He's the one guy that makes me root for an owner. I swear to God. I see it. I'm like, but I'm on your side.
At the same time, and, you know, and he said some things that are questionable, obviously. But some guys' bodies break down, and they can't do anything about it. And he's like a broken down shell of himself. We'll continue this conversation. Come back. Second half of Bennett Woods next here on 97.3 The Fan.